This is KDNK Carbondale. Good morning. New oil and gas drilling operations would have to be built farther away from schools than they are now. That's according to a bill that advanced in the House on Wednesday. As Ben to Brooklyn reports, Democrats backed it after a jam-packed seven-hour hearing at the Capitol.
4 years ago, Colorado created a rule. Oil and gas drilling must be at least 1,000 feet from schools. It's called a setback. And there's a catch. The setback distance begins from the school building and not the school's property line. Supporters of House Bill 1256 want to change that. They say under the current rule, oil and gas rigs could be built near playgrounds or ball fields. Harvey Teitelbaum lives in Evergreen and volunteers for the environmental group the Sierra Club. He worries that oil and gas operators near schools pose potential dangers to children, especially in the event of an accident.
A lot of these toxic chemicals have not even been tested for. We don't even know the health effects. Children are more susceptible.
Business and industry groups lined up in opposition to the bill, arguing that the current setback is enough, that the industry is safe, and that the proposal could be a blow financially. Mike Kopp heads Colorado Concern, a consortium of Colorado CEOs.
There are no health issues here at play, and this is essentially the legislature directing an agency that makes decisions based on data and science to issue, in effect, a ban in certain instances.
The measure passed along party lines. Republicans in the Senate are expected to defeat it should it reach that chamber. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
A bipartisan proposal aims to provide improved security for renters in Colorado. Currently, landlords are required to give 7 days' notice on rent increases or terminations of month-to-month leases. With affordable housing as scarce as it is in mountain communities and cities, having a week to find a new home can prove problematic. Senate Bill 245 would extend the state's notification period for raising the rent or terminating tenancy for month-to-month renters from 7 days to 21 days. It's being sponsored by Senator Kevin Priola and Representative Dan Pabon. The bill was developed by the nonprofit Colorado Center on Law and Policy. An attorney with the center, Jack Regenbogen, took a few minutes to talk with reporter Kara Pallone at our partner station KOTO in Telluride about Senate Bill 245.
So right now, if a landlord wants to have the tenant leave the apartment unit and there's no written lease that specifies how much time of advance notice the tenant were to receive, they only have to give the tenant 7 days advance notice. And that's assuming that the tenant is perfectly compliant, that they're on time with their rent and that they've been a model tenant. They still are only entitled to 7 days advance notice. The same holds true for notice of rent increase. And reciprocally, the same short notice period is also applicable if the tenant wants to leave.
So what are the consequences of this 7-day notification period?
I mean, you could probably imagine trying to find a new place and pack everything up and make sure you have the resources to afford the application fees and the security deposit and first month's rent. Doing all that in 7 days can be all but impossible for many people. And so what this would do is it would bring Colorado closer to the national average. We looked at all 50 states in the country, and the majority of states require at least 30 days advance notice for month-to-month tenants. Some go up as high as 90 days. There were only two in the country that were comparably as short a time as Colorado. So we feel that this is a really important proposal to help make sure that people have the time that they need, because otherwise this short notice, I believe, contributes to people's exposure to becoming homeless.
There's a growing problem in our state, and that's an affordable housing shortage, and especially here in Telluride and some of these mountain communities. And this wouldn't directly solve that problem, but it would alleviate it in some ways, right? It gives a little more breathing room to people to be able to find a new home because it is so hard to find a new spot.
I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, this isn't going to fix every problem, but by tripling the amount of time that people would have to find new housing, we hope that this would go a long way in making sure that people don't go without shelter. And so this is an important step in the right direction, although certainly not going to fix all the problems related to our affordable housing shortage.
Has this proposal been previously introduced?
There was a proposal during last year's legislative session. That was House Bill 16-1461, and that would have expanded notice to 28 days. Otherwise, it's more or less the same proposal that is being put forward this year. And that proposal wasn't opposed by anyone, but it was introduced so late in the legislative session, I'm afraid that maybe there wasn't enough opportunity for legislators to give it their full consideration.
How does the Colorado Center on Law and Policy decide what bills to develop or what proposals to put forward?
Well, we are a nonprofit organization that provides legal and policy advocacy on behalf of low-income Coloradans. We try to work closely with our community partners to get a sense of some of the most pressing issues that people face every day in Colorado. And so in this case, we've heard from some of our housing partners and renter groups about the impossibility of trying to find new housing accommodations on such short notice. And so this was one of several issues that brought to our attention and that we were happy to lend a hand with.
What areas of the state would be most impacted or see the most benefit from Senate Bill 245 if it were to pass?
I strongly think this is going to help people in Telluride and the mountain resort towns and the Denver metro area and Colorado Springs. I think this is going to help statewide. You know, the people that this is going to help the most tend to be some of the most vulnerable and at-risk tenants because, you know, these are folks that for various reasons were not able to remain in housing under a written lease agreement. Mm-hmm. So this often includes people with prior eviction records. In some cases, it may be people that just struggle to establish their financial stability to the point where they could get a written lease. And so anywhere in the state where there are vulnerable tenants that for one reason or another were forced to take a rental agreement without the protections of a written lease, we think this is going to be very beneficial.
Will this protect undocumented immigrants?
The way that this proposal is written, it would affect anyone who does not have the protection of a written lease, which I would imagine would include both documented and undocumented immigrants.
Thanks to KOTO in Telluride for sharing the audio. An effort to allow voters to decide if they want to increase sales taxes to pay for transportation improvements moved forward at the state capitol last week. 80 people signed up to testify and filed into overflow rooms. Dozens of changes were introduced, but in the end, the bill passed along party lines. Penta Brooklyn has more.
Governor John Hickenlooper, the leaders of the Senate and House, agree that improving roads and fixing infrastructure like bridges is the top priority for 2017. That's made allies of Democratic and Republican leaders who say taxes must go up to pay for it all. Their hopes are attached to House Bill 1242. A broad coalition came to testify in support of it during a lengthy hearing of the House Transportation and Energy Committee on Wednesday.
We aren't keeping up with the current system that we've got.
That Speaker of the House, Chrisanta Duran of Denver, a Democrat. She and Senate President Kevin Grantham, a Republican, are the bill's main sponsors. The measure calls for an increase of sales taxes by a little more than a half a penny to bring in about $700 million each year. The proposal would also allow Colorado to borrow up to $3.5 billion. The money would go towards highway and bridge projects on a priority list, but some funds would also go to cities and counties to spend as they wish on potholes, roads, and trails.
Members, this isn't just about where we are in the year 2017. This is about generations who will follow us for many years to come. I ask you to let the people of Colorado decide.
The state would get the first cut of the money, several hundred million dollars. 70% would then go to local communities, another 30% for transit projects, such as bus systems, shuttle services, and light rail. Businesses and transportation groups, local governments, citizens and disability advocates all lined up to testify. They were nearly unified in support of the measure, including Phil Chamberlain, a Gunnison County commissioner. He's a Republican and says the current state budget isn't adequately funding roads.
It is something that we need to get done, and it needs to be done sooner rather than later because we are being left behind and we're going to lose our competitive edge. I think that'd be a travesty.
The Colorado Department of Transportation estimates a $9 billion funding shortfall over the next decade for projects across the state. Mark Williams is the mayor of Arvada. He calls himself a staunch conservative and told lawmakers that cities are losing business because of clogged roads.
Coloradans are frustrated with gridlock, and we don't want to see gridlock under the dome here. We want to see action taken. There's been a lot of compromises reached already. Cities are giving up a portion of their sales tax opportunity to be able to support this.
But there's also opposition to the idea, especially from fiscal conservatives, like Republican Representative Dan Norberg of Colorado Springs.
Before we go and have the conversation with the voters about more of their hard-earned money, we need to look at our existing resources and leverage those first, and that's just not a part of this bill.
His colleague, Republican Representative John Becker of Fort Morgan, added an amendment to the bill to eliminate vehicle registration late fees, but he still voted against it. He worries too much money is slated for transit, which he doesn't think benefits rural communities.
So there's still a lot to go through, but yes, did we get a win tonight? We absolutely did. I think it was a respectful dialogue back and forth, and we have a long way to go yet.
Business groups, including those in the tourism industry, say the measure would help the state's economy. Former Democratic lawmaker Max Tyler used to chair the Transportation Committee. He notes that the neighboring states of Nebraska, Wyoming, and Utah have all recently raised taxes for roads.
These are all very conservative states that have done that.
And when it comes to Utah,
and they are, believe me, taking business, they're taking vacation people, they're taking a lot of money from the state of Colorado because they're improving their roads.
The proposal has more hurdles to clear even if it passes the House, including several Republican-led Senate committees. In that chamber, there's opposition to any tax increases and support for trying to find transportation money within the current budget. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.